Hello and welcome to this week's reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. This week we consider one of the last things that Jesus commanded the disciples before he ascended to be with his Father in heaven. This is more commonly known as the Great Commission, a time when Jesus commissioned not just the disciples there in his presence, but all people who would come to follow him in the time after his ascension, which of course includes us. So let's start by reading Matthew 28, verses 16 and 17. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. So to start with, before we get to the actual bit where Jesus commissions the disciples, I firstly wanted to look at the disciples as they gathered around Jesus to hear what he had to say to them. This is the ragtag group of people that Jesus had called to follow him. A mixture of fishermen, tax collectors, tradesmen, ordinary people. And so they have ordinary, typical human emotions. We are told they gathered together in Galilee and they headed to the mountain that Jesus had told them to go to. Bear in mind that this is not long after the events of Easter. They are still reeling from everything that has happened. And Jesus comes to them again as they stand on that mountain. And we are told that when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. It might seem a bit strange to be told that some doubted, but actually it is just very human, a very real response. It shows with honesty the struggle that the disciples were going through. The Greek word used that we've translated as doubted actually refers more to hesitation, indecision, rather than sort of outright unbelief. And so it is completely understandable that some of the disciples would be finding it difficult to comprehend all that had happened to them. Let me just take you into their mind for a moment, or at least how I imagine they might have felt. I'm still struggling to totally believe and understand what has happened. Only a little while ago, I saw my friend, mentor, my Lord, being crucified on that brutal, cruel wooden cross, punished for a crime he didn't commit, punished because he was speaking openly about God's kingdom, and those in authority didn't like it, didn't like what he had to say about them, about what God was doing. I keep playing the images from that time in my head. Those moments in the garden where I fell asleep instead of staying up to pray as I was asked. That time of terror, anger and betrayal as Judas came leading the guards to take Jesus away. And then seeing Jesus tortured, bloody from the whip marks, being marched through the streets and hung up on a cross. I close my eyes and the images play in my mind. But then, unbelievably, Jesus is alive again. I can't get my head around it all. It is so wonderful, and yet I just can't understand it. I can't work out how it happened or even what happened. Some of the other disciples seem to be having no trouble at all. They are just ready to keep on going as if the crucifixion was just an unpleasant twist in the path. And I know that Jesus is alive again, and so I should be worshipping him. But somehow I just can't get past everything that has happened. His resurrection was so unexpected, so sudden, so unbelievable. And yet here he is, standing in front of me, talking to us. The other disciples rush to worship him and celebrate with him. And yet I hesitate. I want to worship him. And yet my fears, my doubts and worries, they hold me back. So I really appreciate the honesty with this passage, that sometimes it is difficult to come before God and worship because our worries and our doubts hold us back. I've been in quite a few conversations recently where a similar sense of wanting to worship God but feeling unable to has been expressed. For these people, the struggles of their current situations, the pain particularly of this last year, is holding them back. Perhaps this is a feeling that you can resonate with. Choose this moment to let go of those things, those feelings, not to push them aside or pretend that they don't exist, but to let them go and give them to God. Tell God exactly how you're feeling, exactly what is going on. Let him handle your pain, your fear, your doubts. He is big enough to carry all those things for you. Because the reality is that worship and doubt are not mutually exclusive. We can still worship God even when we are finding things difficult and are full of doubts and fears and worries. The disciples were ordinary people who carried ordinary fears and struggles. And yet Jesus called them to extraordinary things. As he spoke to the disciples, he commissioned them to an important task. And he issues this same call to us ordinary people. So reading again from Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Jesus instructed the disciples, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." This is a big, important challenge. For faith to continue, people needed to know about Jesus. And Jesus chose these disciples to spread his gospel. He trusted them and those that came after them to share the good news they had received. It is thanks to the faithful obedience of these people and of the millions that came after them that we know Jesus today. It always amazes me just how much the gospel has spread, to see where it has spread to throughout history, to people all over the world. But of course, we want this gospel, we want the good news of Jesus to continue to spread during our time now. And so we recognise that Jesus's words of commission to the 11 disciples are for us as well. Jesus turns to look at us and says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." We too are to make disciples of all nations, to reach out to people no matter who they are and teach them about Jesus. Now, this might sound very complicated and difficult. Making disciples, surely that's the pastor's job. How are ordinary people supposed to do this? But of course, that is exactly what the disciples were, ordinary people. They did not go to Bible college or get a theological degree. They were not blessed with above average intelligence or get special training in debating skills or persuasive techniques. They did not go on an evangelism course to learn models and techniques for sharing faith. The disciples did not need to receive anything other than the Holy Spirit. We often make the task of sharing our faith into a much bigger challenge than it needs to be. Jesus said to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And then he promised, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." We don't need special evangelism tools because Jesus, who has all authority in heaven and on earth, promises to be with us through the Holy Spirit every step of the way. Every conversation we have about our faith and our relationship with God is guided by the one who has all authority on heaven and earth. Having this is far better than any special persuasive arguments or debating skills. And evangelism is just that, having a conversation about our faith. As followers, disciples of Jesus, faith touches every aspect of our lives and permeates our entire beings. This means that any conversation could be a potential chance to witness to someone about the difference our faith makes in our lives. Even a simple trip to buy something from the corner shop, or a visit to the doctors, or a walk in the park could be an opportunity to share your faith with someone. The famous phrase, supposedly attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, "Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words." It's a useful phrase because it reminds us that our entire lives should reflect the faith that we have. However, it's not so helpful because we do need to remember that it is very often necessary for us to also use our words. As Peter reminded us in his first letter, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." Jesus commissioned us to go and make disciples of all nations. So we need to be prepared to speak of him to those we meet, no matter who they are or where we meet them. So as we come to the rounding off of our reflection today, let us stop and think about how Jesus calls to us, even when we are doubting and we are fearful. He calls us to worship him, and he calls us to tell of his great deeds to those who need to know about him, to everyone we meet. So this week, can you be looking out for opportunities to just share your faith in a simple conversation? Doesn't have to be something grand. It could just be a gentle thought, a word of encouragement, but something that we can say that might change someone else's life. Amen.